Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. Strip, located in Montana's Rosebud County, was born in 1924 when the Northern Pacific Railroad started mining coal nearby to fuel their steam locomotives. Today, Coal Strip is a community with over 2,000 citizens. The town's original schoolhouse, built about 100 years ago, has a new purpose as the community and visitor center and as an art gallery, also known as Shack.
Today we're at the schoolhouse with its executive director, Kayla De La Osa. Kayla, can we begin with a history lesson? Tell us about the Shack and its evolution from a schoolhouse into an art gallery and community center. And what are the different aspects of this center?
I want to start by saying thank you guys for coming all the way out here. It's definitely a trip from Billings, and I can always appreciate anybody traveling to Coal Strip. As for the history of the Schoolhouse History and Art Center, the building itself was built in 1924 as a school for local area ranchers and those working at the mine. It later became a teacherage where female teachers lived. And then shortly after, it was a multifamily apartment building. And it's really funny because when you talk to people who have lived in Coal Strip their whole lives, everybody will tell you a different kind of configuration of how these three apartments were set up. And I've worked here forever and I'm like, I don't know how three apartments could fit in here. After that, it kind of sat abandoned for a while. It started, you know, just being an eyesore on the community, and people in Coal Strip are very, they want to present a really nice looking community for people that come to visit. So a group of concerned citizens got together and they actually bought the building from the school district for $1 through huge fundraising efforts. And I mean, they were doing weekly bake sales. They were doing small handiwork. They were writing grants. They did finally, I think in the late 80s, complete restoration on this building. And at first it was called Rosebud Historical Society. And later, I think in maybe 1995, it was changed to the Schoolhouse History and Arts Center as it is today.
Well, it's beautiful grounds here. And you're across the street from a present day school. And this certainly doesn't look 100 years old. You must have spent a lot of time remodeling and fixing this space up to make it into the gallery that it is today.
Yeah, the original group of concerned citizens spent years remodeling. They resided the building. They put all the landscape in. It was really a team effort, in part by town people and this group or board of directors that would become.
So take us, because we're on radio, as you know, take us on a sort of a visual tour and tell us what is in the schoolhouse or the shack as it is now.
Okay, sure. So the first thing is you walk through the front door, there's a big garden, and there's these two iconic red doors. That's the Schoolhouse History and Arts Center. You walk in, you walk up some stairs into a big space that at one point was housing, you know, children being taught. And then if you go to your right, there's a historic gallery. That's a permanent gallery. It's sort of a timeline of Coal Strip from 1924 until about the mid 80s, maybe the early 90s. If you were to continue straight, there's a revolving gallery where we host contemporary exhibitions, some of which are local or at least local to our state. To the left, there's a gift shop that houses wares from local artisans, a lot of different stuff in there. if you were to go down the stairs, it's actually a really interesting building. There's two flights of stairs, and everybody thinks they might go to two different places, but they both go to the same place. You walk down into the basement. There are two separate classrooms. One is an arts education room where we do most of our teaching. And then on the other side is a ceramic studio. It houses six wheels, two kilns, basically anything you could want in a ceramic studio.
Kayla, this multi-purpose building is also notable for the variety of exhibitions you present. Let's see, from the nationally celebrated artist Sean Chandler to paintings by, you know, Rosebud students, and even a classic quilt collection. The Shack is presenting the gamut of creative endeavors. Can you talk about how you choose your shows?
Sure. As a small institution and the executive director, I wear a lot of hats, so I could be considered also maybe executive curator. What we book is up to me, and a lot of those shows, I would say probably at least one third, we're booking through Montana Art Gallery Directors Association. Otherwise, I will go to artists specifically asking them to show their work here. I've made a lot of friends and have a lot of good networking opportunity, and people are often really glad to show their work to our rural community.
Kayla, one thing I know is that you have an extensive education outreach program. So what does the programming mean to a small community like this? From summer school for kids to your lame deer elders art, tell us about some of the programs that you have as a part of your educational outreach.
We do have a big reach in Rosebud County. We teach classes on the Cheyenne Reservation, and we teach classes in-house. One of our most important classes is a homeschool class that we have in here. And for some of those kids, this might be their only arts education that they're receiving. We also do some work with the local school district. And as you know, arts funding is the first thing to be cut within those systems. So it's really important that we're here and we can help supplement that. For me, it's always been really a blessing to be able to serve those underserved populations. And everybody's always really thankful for it.
We are actually in the lower level right now where the educational activities go on, and they have these fabulous, wonderful tables that you got that you said you wrote a big grant for. So I'm interested in funding. I know you get part of your funding from the coal severance taxes paid based upon coal mined in Montana and put into the Montana Cultural and Aesthetics Project Trust Fund, but also you receive funding from the Montana Arts Council, National Endowment for the Arts, Montana Cultural Trust. What about sort of local donations? And is all that funding affecting the future of your organization?
So we do receive funding from all of those places. We have a lot of partnerships locally from local businesses and local industries here. They always help us out in any sort of pinch. This year, we were really lucky to have a partnership with Talon, which is the power plant, and Westmoreland Mine to fund part of Shakespeare in the Parks. The community as a whole is always really happy to help financially with programming. And for the future, I think as coal production slows down, the money put into that fund will dry up. I'm hopeful that it will last a while, but it is possible that it won't last forever.
You are listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. Kayla De La Osa from the Schoolhouse History and Arts Center in Colstrip is talking about arts and community on the Montana Plains.
We are going to actually go upstairs and look at one of the shows that you have currently on display at the schoolhouse. But before we go there, I want our listeners to know a little bit about MAGDA, the Montana Arts Gallery Directors Association. It's such an interesting and important organization in Montana, but I doubt that many of our listeners know anything about it. Can you tell us about the organization and how it got started?
MAGDA stands for Montana Art Gallery Directors Association, and it's a large group of institutions within our state and the surrounding states. We do have members from North Dakota, Idaho, I think even Washington State. Once a year, we host a conference at Chico Hot Springs, and it's 3 days long. This conference is a good opportunity for professional development, excellent networking. I'll say I've met several people there that as a kid growing up in Montana, I thought they were giants in the museum field, and they are. So it's really a place where we can all come together and talk about what's going good and what's not going good in our state. It's also an excellent opportunity for artists to get to be maybe more known within the state. It's a time when you can, institutions, members, and membership is not expensive to MAGDA. It's a time when member institutions can book shows. There's probably 7 to 10 exhibitions proposed each year, sometimes more. And we showcase those. They're all sponsored by an institution. And so the person sponsoring them or the museum sponsoring them, they go up and they present it on the first day, I think on Wednesday. And then the very last day, Friday morning, is when institutions are able to book those shows.
For our listeners, here's a little more information about Montana Art Gallery Directors Association, or MAGDA as it is known. MAGDA was formed in 1972 with the goals to provide financial, professional, and moral support to nonprofit art institutions across Montana. The membership includes art centers, organizations, museums, and galleries from across the state.
For over 50 years, MAGDA has made it possible for members to share exhibitions and provide professional and developmental support to one another. Rural Montana communities that generally have less access to affordable exhibitions are given access to art ranging from the 19th century French printmaking to contemporary works from around the world. Imagine galleries in Glasgow or Weibo showcasing contemporary and world-class artworks.
Large Montana museums and universities are able to share their permanent collections with the rest of the state. Each fall during the annual conference, all members gather to share resources, industry insights, and best practices. MAGDA is not limited to Montanans. Representatives from North Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, and Washington have participated in the annual conference to network with members and presenters.
The organization operates through its membership and the support of the Montana Arts Council, a state agency funded by the state of Montana, coal severance taxes paid based upon coal mined in Montana and deposited in the Montana Cultural and Aesthetic Projects Trust Fund, and the National Endowment for the Arts.
The communities in our listening area that benefit from MAGDA include the largest, C.M. Russell Museum in Great Falls and the Yellowstone Art Museum in Billings, to the smaller community institutions such as the Liberty Village Art Center and Gallery in Chester. All MAGDA members have the same access. Kayla, I also know that your booking conference is coming up in a week or so, but I'm looking at last year. Can you tell us about some of the current exhibits that are traveling around the state?
So some of the current exhibitions that are traveling right now are Paul Harris's Activating the Surface, The Last Glacier Project, which is a collaborative effort between three men focusing on glaciers around the world over the last 30 years. Remember Me, a show by Jane Wagner Deschner. Silver Linings, For the Record, which is a show, a photography show by a gal from Missoula, and I think she worked for the Montana Department of Transportation, and she took photos of all these bridges. It's a great show. D.G. House's show is traveling right now. Rhythm and Whimsy was sponsored by The Holter. It's a sculptural show. Broad Spectrum, Abundant Palette is SACWA. And then Corky Claremont has a show traveling right now, and everybody loves Corky. It's a great show. Windows and Doors by Megan Spielman is traveling. It's a show where she uses a Dobby loom to create works that are based on a book of antique coverlets that she found. And then Myths and Legends by Jason Elliott Clark. I think he's from Missoula. It's a great show. He's an indigenous artist, and it's just amazing work. We'll have it later.
So, Kayla, you are secretary of MAGDA, but I'm wondering a little bit maybe about your background. Tell us about your art career.
I don't know if there's much to say there. I grew up in Great Falls and attended, you know, CMR and Great Falls High. But I had the same art teacher from middle school all the way until my second year of high school. And it was Miss Tess Jacobs, if you guys know her. And then, you know, there wasn't much after that. I kind of took my own time off and was a stay-at-home mom. And I think a lot of people who are creative can agree with the fact that when you're kind of in the throes of raising children, anything artistic just kind of can go to the side for a long time. I've worked here for 6 years, the first two of which I was education director, and I still wasn't really putting a lot of time into my own work. But as executive director, there was a few years where I was kind of stepping back in. But then last year, I kind of took the leap, and I did show some work in a collaborative show at Kirk's Grocery. And this year I'll be in that show as well. I would say my passion in art falls into like printmaking, a little bit of painting. I always like to say I'm a jack of all trades, but a master of none. I'm definitely not trained in any of those things.
But we live in Montana. We actually have a lot of artists, but every small community, Kayla, needs somebody like you to spearhead. I mean, 2,000 people in this town, and to have an art gallery, I think that's very impressive, and you should be happy about that. We are going to actually be speaking with one of the artists that you have as a part of the MAGDA traveling tour. But before we do that, tell me, like, how does a museum go about securing the traveling show?
If we're talking about securing a traveling show through MAGDA, then you need to attend the conference, become a MAGDA member. So to book a traveling exhibition through MAGDA, the first step is that you would want to become a member. Memberships are based on an institution's budget. So there's a few different tiers, and it's really affordable. And then you would want to attend the conference. The conference is always in that first week of October, or Wednesday through Friday. Wednesday is when the exhibitions are presented. Friday morning is when we book. And it's a really nice time because everyone that's booking is in the same room. So we can usually find an agreeable arrangement for everyone.
Kayla, your current exhibit is Unsettled Lands, the work of Minette Renee Bradford. Minette is joining us here at the schoolhouse, and we are happy that you made the trip over to Colstrip. Please tell us a little bit about your show.
It's exciting to be here. So my current show, Unsettled Lands, is a combination of large-scale collage works on canvas, watercolor, and watercolor paper collaged on canvas with acrylic and acrylic medium, ceramic sculpture, and some works on paper. And what's really exciting is that every venue that's been hosting the show, I get to see my work in a different context, and it's like rediscovering my own work. And it's so rewarding to just come and see it here in Colstrip.
I have been fortunate to be at your studio and see your show and see the show here. And if I were to describe it, I would say it's really geographic locations or historical monuments. But if you look very closely, there is this combination of human bodies within the landscapes. It could be an arm, a leg, It's so fascinating. Where did you come up with that? And then how do you manipulate that into a final piece?
So when I was developing my work, it was within the first year that my husband and I moved to Montana. And when you're surrounded by such a vast landscape and such a rich mythological history of the West and such a fascinating history and ecological conditions, the impression that, you know, about 200 years of European colonial expansion has made on the landscape, I was really just thinking about all of the ways that all of these different themes and histories intersect and my own relationship with the landscape. And in retrospect, I wasn't really conscious of this at the time when I was working on body of work, but when I was writing my artist statement, in retrospect, I realized that I was actually using this masculine nude figure as an avatar for my own experience of engaging with the landscape now that I've relocated to Montana.
What I love about these images is, of course, you see the Montana landscapes, the vastness of that, and then you see this part of a giant man. I can't help but think of Gulliver's Travels. So the giant man in this little tiny land. And do you sort of play with that idea?
Yeah, I think that giant figures are sort of a projection of our own psyche, the way that we see our relationship with the landscape and our ability to control it and sort of like shape the landscape or ecosystems, other species to our will, is sort of this projection of this giant figure in relation to the world around it.
This is a question both for Manette and for Kayla. I'm interested in what kind of response you've had from the community upon seeing this work.
So far, most people have really loved this show. All people have loved this show. The sheer size of it alone, I think, is really impressive to people. And it's rare that you get to see work so big travel in rural Montana. I've definitely seen a couple of people blush after they look at it for a little while. But I think it's important work and nobody has complained. It's been a really great reception.
I am really excited for my, I think my artist presentation is mid-November, and I'm really excited to meet people in person, but I also really love the idea that there have been people that have seen my work in this community that I will never meet, which to me is, it's a true measure of success because my work has a life outside of me now. It's not just me.
And that brings me back to the whole mission of Magda. I could see this work in a gallery in New York, certainly in Billings, but how unique it is for an artist to be able to show across the state. Where else is this particular collection of work going?
So it started in Great Falls at Paris Gibson Square, and it went to Hockaday Museum up in Kalispell this summer. It's here through December, and then it heads up to Sydney. And then it goes to Mondack Heritage Center in Sydney, and then it heads to Missoula for the opening of the new Montana Museum of Arts and Culture, and then it heads back to Great Falls to the Charlie Russell Museum.
Kayla, you're about to attend the Magda meeting, and it's my understanding that each one of the galleries or museums around the state present an artist that they would like to see tour. Can you tell us about who you have selected as the artist, maybe a little bit about their work, and why you think that particular artist belongs in a tour?
So not every institution sponsors an exhibition. However, if they choose to, it's always a great and very appreciated thing. This year, and I think for the first time in Magda history and Shack history, Shack is sponsoring an exhibition, and I chose to sponsor work by Jesse Albrecht. The exhibition is called Vessels of War and Recovery. Jesse Albrecht is a Belgrade based ceramicist, and his work is not traditional what we think about when we think of ceramic work. He's using imagery and stories from his life, much like other artists, but he's doing it outside of these vessels. I wouldn't call them vases or vases. They're just these big oblong shapes, and they're done quickly. They're done beautifully. And Jesse, more on the artist, he is an Iraqi war veteran, and he was sent abroad quickly after 9/11. I think he was in art school, and it was just a really fast and quick thing. And when you read his artist statement about the work, there's a big bold part where it says, "They didn't give me my medical pack." And you can feel it in his work, his disillusion maybe with that military industrial complex. It's beautiful work. It's political without being one-sided. I showed this work October 2023, and the best description that I had was it was truly what I would call fine art for every man. Everybody can appreciate that work. I had people come in here who I have never seen in this building, who are big members in our community, that were inspired by this work. It's really beautiful. I think it's important that it shows around the state. He's an asset to our artistic community, and I think it's just going to be great work.
And of course, that brings me back to the whole aspect, and maybe one of the missions of the Schoolhouse Art Center is education. You have a very large ceramic studio here. How do you feel about people maybe on the fringe of society or somewhat disconnected or maybe not verbal? Is there a power in art making that you see happen?
I think absolutely. Art is for every single person. It's for the freaks, the geeks, you know, the queens and the kings. Art is something that can connect all of us. That visual language could mean one thing to you and something to me, but there's still that connection of it means something. I think art might be our main source to connect with one another.
We have been talking with Kayla De La Osa, who is the executive director of the Shack, the Schoolhouse Art Center in Colstrip, and the artist currently on display, Manette Renee Bradford. Thank you for joining us both, and let's celebrate more art making.
Been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at yprradio.org.